writing for a congregation is no easy task. It does, I don't say that to discourage, but actually, like, the layers you have to think about in terms of singability, you have to think theologically, you have to think, is it approachable to other people? Is it understandable? And does it capture the true nature of God? Music is educational by nature. And so it really matters what we're singing. It really matters what we're saying.
What's up, everybody? And welcome to this week's edition of Worship Fuel. My name is Matt McCoy. I'm the host of the Worship Fuel show and the founder of loopcommunity.com. Today, we have a very special guest. I've got Callie Heiligenthal with me. She's a worship leader, songwriter, and we're going to talk about some of her new music. We're going to talk about just worship leading advice and songwriting tips. So I'm really excited about this conversation. So let's go ahead and bring in Callie now. What's up, Callie?
Hello. You really nailed that first and last name. That's very impressive.
Heiligenthal.
That amazing. I've been working on it. I think, yeah, you say it better than I do. I'll need some lessons.
So is it German?
It's all German. Yeah. It's and it's like, from what I gather, very literally translated as Holy Valley, which is kind of a wild name. Yeah. Yeah. So
yeah, that's really cool.
Married into that one.
And where in the world do you live? Are you down south in Nashville?
We were there for a little bit. We've tried a bunch of different places. We've been on a bit of a tour. But right now we are on the East Coast. We're out in Jersey and ministering in New York City. And so quite an adventure. Awesome. Yeah.
And so tell us, just for worship leaders who maybe are just brand new to hearing your music, like, give us just like a little bit of story. Like, what is your journey as a worship leader?
Yeah. I mean, I always like to say, I feel like I kind of came into this thing kicking and screaming. It was never the intention to lead worship. I think sometimes people assume, you know, if you are in front of a microphone or your face is on something, that your issue would be pride or arrogance. For me, it's been insecurity is the one that I've needed to look at kind of through things. So I never would have probably had the sense of confidence to say that it was something I would have wanted or pursued. But it was kind of little step by little step. I honestly didn't really even start leading worship until end of college. My dad's a pastor, so I grew up in choir. I grew up singing background vocals, which is no small job, by the way. Harmonizing, yeah, and doing it well is that's a big deal. But in terms of leading, it was little step after little step of just the Lord inviting me in, like, hey, would you say yes to this? Hey, would you ask for more information? And again, a lot of it pretty reluctant, just because I just didn't think that I could do it, I think. But when people talk about, you know, your calling or your destiny being like, am I going to miss it? Am I going to miss the will of God? I feel like you stick close to the Lord and you're going to find it, because he's going to get you there, you know? And so, ended up starting leading and tried to drop it a good number of times, ended up in Northern California with Bethel Church, and ended up on their label for years. And somewhere along the way, I decided, I think I do like leading worship. So
did you go out there for their Bethel School of Ministry, or?
Yeah. So I was, I have my degree in Bible and theology. I was a high school youth pastor, and we just started seeing the Lord really move mightily. And I realized, wow, I don't want to go back to whatever it was I was doing before this, but I don't know what this is. I don't know how to host the presence of God like this. I don't know how to steward this. Yeah. And I need to learn. And so we never really even heard of it. Bethel Church wasn't kind of, you know, talked about in the same kind of way that it is now or is known. And so we ended up finding ourselves out there, said it was going to be 9 months, no more, then we were going to head back. And we ended up being there for 12 years, something like that.
Wow. So, and I heard you say you're a pastor's kid. I'm also a pastor's kid. What?
You are.
My dad was a pastor in the Vineyard Church movement.
Yes.
In Southern California.
In California. Okay. Yeah, that's amazing. So, what a legacy. Wow.
What type of church were you in?
So I grew up in a Lutheran charismatic evangelical church. So kind of a lot of it. And then my degree is from a Baptist university. So, you know, I think there's like, there's beauty in all these expressions, just in the way that individuals carry that a picture of, you know, the image of God. I believe that's true about the different expressions. And there's such beauty to be found in all these different kind of chapters and areas of the church. So
I totally agree. There's a church like three blocks from my house that I've started to go to in the past couple months. And it's a Covenant church, which I've never even heard of the Covenant church movement or whatever, but I actually need to do some more reading on it. But I have loved though their services, and it's, you know, they do like contemporary worship, but then they've got like more liturgical pieces to it. And I don't know, I just love it. And it's a beautiful little space. There's like 100 people with like stained glass windows everywhere. And it's just very different from the non-denominational thing that I've grown up with my whole life.
Yes. Yeah, there's really such beauty to the traditions where you can feel it, whether it's the liturgy or, you know, there's this depth there that I think is really grounding and quite beautiful to discover. And I think anytime you're kind of jolted out of your norm, you're pulled from this muscle memory that can be really easy to fall into, this autopilot. And and when you walk into somebody else's expression, their conversation with God, their like who they know him to be, I think in a great way, it's always an invitation to see him differently and to expand an eternal God, who he is. There's always more learning. There's always more growing and visiting these different expressions, church, you know, churches, I always find I leave with a fuller picture of who the Lord is.
Yeah. I always find it amazing too, how like musicians, it seems like they all come from pastor's kids. Like, and it might be that we're just you just are living and breathing the church all the time. Like you're there first, you're there last. You're probably
it's the native tongue.
Yeah. Yeah, totally. Like you're setting everything up. Like you're seeing it all happen. You're running the overhead transparencies probably back in our day. Like,
absolutely.
Like we're just totally engulfed in worship. And then eventually we get, you know, somehow called up to actually be a part of the team.
Sometimes even kicking and screaming. The transparencies were really hard because it's like, it could be upside down or like the opposite way. So they're by the end of the song, maybe I found the right way, but they're watching me fumble real time, the whole entirety of the song. But I think somehow still, I was raised with all the PowerPoint girl in the back, you know, and
I used to get creative with those transparencies and do like transitions by like bringing it up slowly to fade it in, fade it out, maybe a little like transition by like spinning it in.
I love that's advanced movement. That is pastor's kid like that, for sure. You've done this enough to kind of go off the beaten path and try some stuff out. I see that.
I was pretty bored. So, okay. So you were with Bethel for 12 years. That's a long time. Did you do songwriting at all with them?
Yeah, that's kind of where I began. That's another one of those funny, like if worship leading was kind of reluctant, songwriting was like, absolutely no way. Like absolutely no way. I think I disqualified myself really early on. I've come to realize about myself that if I don't feel like I can step into something and on the first try be the best, like once in a generation kind of, you know, expression of something, I shy away from it. I don't want the learning process of growth, of trying, failing, trying again. That resilience that was needed there, I really didn't want to have to discover it. What was that?
What did you think you were going to do?
You know, I think it's always been ministry. It's always been the church. Mm-hmm. Like I felt from a really early age, I love the Lord and I love his people and I want to minister. But some of the more visible ones, I even, you know, with the degree, all that, like speaking was probably more developed and more comfortable, writing messages, all that, but then adding music to it was like definitely a learning curve. And I think sometimes for new writers or people who have that dream on the inside, whether or not they can even like admit it to themselves, to others, if there is that dream for leading worship or songwriting, I think it can be easy to look at people, to watch a clip, to observe your favorite. And it just looks so seamless. It looks so easy. It looks like they like, you know, wake up doing that. And it's like breathing. And I think we can really disqualify ourselves saying, if I have it over my life, I would be doing it already. I would know how, and I would look like that. And the reality is, this is a growth curve. Like getting to have beautiful friends that do these things. The reality is we all are learning. We all are growing. And so to any new writers or any new worship leaders, to not limit ourselves by our own evaluation. Is it a call of God on your life? Is he asking you to do it? He's going to get you there. And we're going to grow in humility along the way. We're going to grow in excellence. We're going to grow in running back to him to hear his evaluation of us, his voice over what we're writing. We get to ask him first, does this move you? Because if it doesn't move you, I'm not interested in it. You know, we're going to find our own unique voice. That's a process that takes time. And I'm so glad that I had the Lord lead me down it. But it's not an overnight thing.
Yeah. Not every songwriter has to be a worship leader, but I feel like sometimes worship leaders feel this pressure that they have to be songwriters. Yes. And that may not be on everybody either, but you might feel this pressure though. Like part of being a worship leader is to be a songwriter.
Yes.
What do you think about that?
Yeah, I agree. I think, and what the songwriting expression may look like could really vary from person to person. I do think that there's a unique message on the inside of all of us that will take different shapes and forms. If that's melodic in nature, if that's like, you know, in prayer, my heart poured out to the Lord, I do think we all have a voice. Now, if that's going to look like a traditional kind of corporate worship song, just because you lead worship, I think specifically writing for a congregation is no easy task. I don't say that to discourage, but actually, like for me, as I began trying all that, it actually was really encouraging to hear people say, this is like the layers you have to think about in terms of singability. You have to think theologically. You have to think, is it approachable to other people? Is it understandable? And does it capture the true nature of God? Music is educational by nature. And so it really matters what we're singing. It really matters what we're saying. And so I think that call is a particular one. I really do. But I think there's other expressions, whether it's like more devotional writing or singing before the Lord, singing scripture, all of that, that I think maybe someone feels like, oh, I should be writing. But ask the Lord, what kind of writing should I be doing? Yeah. What's the trueness of my voice? And how do I bring that before you?
Right. And it may not be a song for a congregation. It might just be for God.
Absolutely. And those are so worthy.
Yeah, totally. So what does your songwriting process look like? Are you mostly writing alone or do you co-write? Can you give us a sneak peek into that?
Yeah. So, you know, I had been kind of writing, releasing music on more of kind of that corporate level. And we did end up moving to Nashville for a bit. And while I was there, I got to explore the world of writing, like as a writer coming alongside worship leaders, artists, and kind of helping to form, what do you want to say? What is it that's inside of you? And kind of drawing that out, which is different than when you're the one that's writing your own, you know, song that you're going to carry. And so that was a really, really fun growing experience. And I still get to do that. I really love stepping alongside and just trying to get a sense of what is the Lord saying to you and how might that sound? How do we help draw that out? So that was a real chapter in there. And I still do that. These singles coming out into this album, it actually was a big step to kind of come back into writing in my own voice. I think I got pretty comfortable helping other people kind of shape and form the way that they wanted to say something, but finding what I wanted to say. Yeah. When I began writing, that was the journey as well, because it's easy to regurgitate something. It's easy to say, well, they've said it that way, or I like this or whatever. And we kind of copy paste. But for me, the challenge has always been the Lord saying, but I want to hear it like you. I want to hear it how you would say it. I think even the four gospels speak to that, right? It's the same story, but the voice changes. And I think the Lord loves hearing it in our own words and our own experience. For me, stepping into these singles, into this album, there was a lot of soul searching. There's a lot of looking on the inside to get those words and those melodies on the outside. And what these singles and album ended up looking like was primarily me and my good friend Bede doing most of the songs together as kind of the two of us. So it was definitely a different process. Most of these songs were crafted within 1 week of writing, which is, again, not normal, but it worked for this one.
Yeah, I'm always curious to hear about people's songwriting styles on that. And this might be an unpopular opinion. And it's something I'm trying to figure out and understand and think through, but as a songwriter myself, I love writing alone. I just love writing alone. But sometimes I feel really guilty for doing that or wanting to do that and feel like, well, there's such this like strong movement of like, you have to co-write. And almost every big song on the charts has like five writers on it, it seems like. And so then I feel like, well, gosh, maybe, you know, am I holding on to these songs too tightly? Like, should I be like bringing in other people in? But I really love writing alone because I feel like, I don't know, I probably would get a better song if I wrote with other people, but I feel like I get a more honest song writing alone. Where it's really fully like my expression to God. And if I'm going to be the artist to recording it, then I really want it to be like my expression to the Lord. And the song, may not be as good as it could be if I brought in like five other writers, but maybe that doesn't matter. Like maybe actually I kind of just want more of honesty than a better song, like a polished, like perfect song. Like it's okay. I'd rather have like a song that has some rough edges. Than one that's just like perfect. I don't know. I know that's an unpopular opinion, but I'm
I think it's profound. What I hear you saying is that you're valuing the authenticity or just the kind of like the raw, like this is my like unadulterated heart poured out. And recognizing the cost might be, you know, X, Y, and Z, the reach could be different, but whatever, the value of like, I think getting the inside out is really important. And that's a way that you do that. I think it's stunning. You know, I think co-writing for me changed the game because I really learn every time I do it. And I think as I have been developing how to approach songwriting, how to write in a way where, you know, to fill out kind of my writing, that's been a really helpful way to do that, to come in as a learner and get an education from people who think differently than I do, who hear different things than I do. But it's interesting you say that because I think there is there's a lot of good reasons to do it. I think when you do it because you don't know your own voice or you don't trust your own voice or you want to defer to how other people say it, I do think that can be problematic. I do. I don't want to hide my story and hide my voice. I think even these singles, this album, I have so many friends that are incredible songwriters that I've gotten to write with. I know what they do. I love them. And I'm like, oh man, we could do something amazing. What was really interesting along the lines of what I hear you saying is the Lord was really clear with me, like, hey, I know they're amazing. You know they're amazing. But Callie, because you second guess yourself, or if somebody live in the room is going to bring forth a great idea, like, you're not going to honor yours, even if yours is like a little inkling and it's messy and it might not even be better. I know about myself that I won't, I'll defer. And I felt the Lord put that boundary line for me of like, hey, you're going to work with Bede, who is this producer who wrote with me. And what I know about Bede and a lot of other friends as well, but what I've learned and experienced from Bede is that he helps draw me out. So instead of, you know, saying something great, or we could do this, we could do that, he patiently draws things out. And I think a good writer does that. They're checking back. Is this what you want to say? But how would you say it? And in a way, I feel like he brought forward even more of me than maybe I could have on my own. And to me, that was a great approach for these songs in particular. So I really resonate with what you're saying. Absolutely.
Yeah. So tell us about these three songs. I think this is so cool. So you did say that it's maybe coming into an album. So like there's a whole album coming as well.
Yeah, it should be. It's right around the corner. So we have another one coming out on Friday, July 11th. And that's right on the horizon. And then an album to come. And so
you've got three singles so far, Even There. Tell us about Even There.
Yes. So Even There was the first one out of the gate. It was the first one we actually wrote. So this is before there was any like, I'm going to write my own stuff again, or I have something to say. Before any of that, I was, I had a write with Bede, and then our friend Patrick Mayberry, who is the best.
Patrick and I go way back in Chicago, because I'm in Chicago, and he and I used to hang out.
No way. Yeah, that's where he's from. He is awesome. He's awesome. And both of them just felt like brothers. Like they're just brothers to me, you know? And they actually approached me because we've been in a lot of writing rooms where we were the writers helping other people kind of with their songs, or Patrick was. But it wasn't me. And so I had them both like, hey, Callie, could we help you write a song? And I was like, I don't know. Like, I don't know about that, but I love and I trust them. And so I said, okay, let's do it, you know, and it's been a while, but let's try. So we got in, and when I was driving there, there was this like spontaneous moment from years before in a live worship set that I kind of sat on. And sometimes with those spontaneous moments, you don't either, they're amazing because you know that they work in a corporate setting, and then those are like gold. But sometimes they just don't want to be in a song, and they're just meant to be in that moment. So I've kind of always held on to it and been like, okay. And it was a really near and dear one. And I just like, I don't know, maybe another day, or if the Lord says something. Yeah. Well, on the way in, he did. And he said, I want you to bring that part to Bede and Patrick. So we got in and I showed them, and I was like, hey guys, no pressure. You know, what do you think? And they were like, absolutely. Yes. Let's write to it. Let's do it. And, it just felt like such a beautiful thing to have brothers come alongside and remind me of my own voice, help me draw out, believe in my voice and my story after, you know, walking through a lot of hardship, the loss of our little girl in that space. Your whole world is turned upside down, and that's a really mild way to put it. And so in the settling of who am I and what do I have to say and how would I even ever put that into a song was really intimidating. And just to feel their care. I've told them before, it felt like, you know, the friends that lower this leper man down through the ceiling to just get that healing that they believed for. I felt like in a way they opened up the ceiling and brought me through. And it was really a healing process of this song of trying to tease out and find what I would say about something that is past words. It's beyond words. But that I didn't have to do it alone, and that people love me and believe in my voice, and that I'm not finished. So that's kind of how that song came to be.
Yeah. That's amazing. What about the other ones? Is there another one you were really excited about of the other?
Yeah. So Worthy of Everything was one that we had this writing week, Bede and I, and I had, again, it was this spontaneous moment that I had kind of thrown it in at the end of songs in a live worship set. And it really felt like it always connected to me. It felt like it connected in the room. And, you know, I think just a song of surrender. And before having sung them, I think we know surrender to the degree that we know surrender. And we bring all that we have in that moment. But I could feel that I needed a new expression of surrender because of the things that we've been walking through. And so the idea of Worthy of everything means something different to me now than it did 2 years ago, than it did 5 years ago, than it did 10 years ago. And to me, it almost is a song of the renewing of my vows to the Lord, where this is not a one-time yes. This is not a, I'll give a yes and let's see what happens. Like I mean this. And no matter what comes, when we stand at an altar, we don't know what's coming our way. We don't know what life is going to throw, but we stand and we say, for better, for worse, for rich, or for poor, till death do us part. And I look at the storyline throughout scripture. It started in the garden and it ends with a wedding, and union is restored.
Yeah.
And so to me, it was this like, man, I like, I give my yes all over again. You're still worthy of everything. And I couldn't have imagined that everything would be that costly. But where else would I go? Who else do I have? And when I look at him and I see the scars in his hands and I see the one on his side and I see what he's done to give me everything, to make himself available to me. It's a no-brainer to give it back, you know? And so this song is really, it feels like sometimes you write a song and it pulls from a very, very, very deep part of your heart. Yeah. And this one is definitely that.
Wow. Yeah. If you could go back and talk to like a 16-year-old version of yourself, or even like like a younger version of yourself as a worship leader or songwriter, what would be some advice you would give them for the road ahead?
Yeah. I think what I would say is, if there's anything that you're aspiring to, any hopes, any dreams, that you're waiting on with any degree of this will hold fulfillment, this will bring my purpose, this will give me vision, this is what I'm made for. If there's any aspiration that doesn't start and end and everything in between is Jesus, it's not what you really want. Like I would have told myself, Callie, you could spend your whole life chasing good things, like good things in the name of Jesus. Ultimately, none of those things are ever designed to satisfy you. There's no amount of people in the room. There's no stadium filled with people. There's no chart that you could reach the top of. There's no amount of listeners or followers that will ever, ever, ever compare to when his eyes are on you and his voice comes and speaks who I am. That informing me, that not numbers, not crowds, those are all fine and good, but they will not satisfy. They are not the thing that we are designed for, that we're made for. The thing that we're designed and made for, the purpose, the calling, the assignment in our life, we already have in the man Jesus. Everything that I need, I have right now. And so I would tell her that's been a process, a journey. The Lord's been faithful to walk me through that. And sometimes I think we just have to. Sometimes I could even go back and shake my own shoulders, but I still would need to walk it out. But from what I've seen and what I know, it's true that it's true that it's true that it's true that nothing else satisfies like the face of Jesus, not even ministry, not even singing about him, not even anything surrounding. It is the man Jesus that is everything that we need.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen.
Wow. Callie, I'm so pumped for you. I'm glad that I'm just really thankful that we have people like you writing music for the church. And I'm really excited for you about this project. These great songs. I can't wait to hear the rest of them.
Thank you.
And we've got all the tracks and charts up at Loop Community, and we're going to do everything we can to push them out and song select CCLI. So we want to we want worship leaders to hear these. So I just appreciate your heart. Thanks for sharing.
Thank you so much. I want to say thank you for resourcing the church. You know, as a pastor's kid and from one here, I just want to say like, it's no small thing to resource and surround the people of God with, with the words, the melodies to move his heart, to draw his people unto himself. Thank you for resourcing the church and thank you for helping bring the reward of Jesus to him in his bride and his people. We're so grateful for all that you do. And thanks for taking the time to ask and listen and share today. I appreciate it.
It's my life's honor. I appreciate it. Nice to meet you and God bless.
Thank you. Talk to you soon. Thanks so much. Okay. Talk soon.
Bye. All right, guys, great conversation. Excellent conversation with Callie. Make sure you go listen to her new music. She's released 3 singles this year. Go search wherever you get music. Go right now, find her music, listen to it. We've got all the tracks, the charts at Loop Community and Song Select CCLI. We wanna make sure you have the resources you need to play these at your church. Type down in the chat, what's one thing you're walking away from this conversation with? What is one thing that inspired you, that made you maybe ponder, maybe to look inside and think about your worship leadership or songwriting. We're glad you joined us, and hit the subscribe button to stay tuned for future Worship Fuel shows. We'll see you next time.